Can you tell me a little bit about the weddings that you have done?
Went to Montgomery. My husband and I, we, of course, he took the job with the state, and we moved to Montgomery. And of course, we got going to the Capital Heights Baptist Church. We lived there 35 years. And of course, it was just become our home, actually. We spent an awful lot of time there. And we had, I like to do little things. I just love to mess around with beautiful food. I love to fix pretty food. And I do a lot of things at the church. So one of our ladies, her daughter was a graduate from University of North Carolina. At that time, it was a kind of a fashionable school. The girl was very beautiful, and it was an only child. And she met a young man up there. And he, of course, was going to the school for young men. And so when they got their degrees, they wanted to be married. And her mother worked the whole year on the wedding clothes, and they were just beautiful. So she signed me. She came to me and told me she wanted me to make the wedding dress. And I told her I didn't know how to make a wedding dress. And she said, well, you're going to make this one. And she told me the style she wanted. She wanted a double wedding. And I said, well, how to do it? And she said, well, you're going to do this one. So I worked about 2 weeks cutting patterns out of paper to see if I could do it. She said I could. And I told her I couldn't. And so one night, Miss Whitney and I were sitting on the floor cutting out this pattern and used the Angie food pan. And we cut patterns and cut patterns, and finally about 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, well, the thing went together. Just went all together to make a double wedding ring. So the next morning I called her, and Lisa Welch was her name, and I told her to come around. Lisa lived in an apartment. And she came around, and I showed her the pattern that was lying on the floor. And she says, oh, that's it. So I had the pattern laid there so I could figure out how I was going to do it. And so then she bought me a big mirror to build that on. It was a beautiful mirror. And she brought it to my home and put it on my table. And so I started working on that cake. I made a pound cake. And I set it up on that thing. Set the cakes up according to my pattern. I made the cakes according to my paper pattern. And got that thing all set up. Mr. Welch was a big contractor. He built homes and all kinds of things like that. And he was a very smart man. He wasn't only a builder out, but he did a lot of work in the church as well. It was a very beautiful Christian family. And so I got the cake all made. And I didn't know what in the world I'd do, because I didn't know how to make a rose or anything like that. I could paint one, because in fact I didn't tell you about my artwork. I taught primary art for 12 years. And we did departmental work in our school. And so there I did a lot of my paintings from my home and things like that. And so I could draw a flower. I could paint it with oil, but I didn't know how to make one with icing. So what I did, I could do beautiful cakes and I could do good icing. So I made the cake and I covered it all over with good icing. It was pretty. It was real beautiful. Had it scalloped on the outside and plain on the inside, like a ring, like she wanted. So then I made little nosegays out of net and put my icing down on this mirror and worked that little net ruffle into that icing, and I used tube roses for the flowers. And I made little arrangements in those nets to decorate that cake. And it just worked out beautifully. And so Mr. Welch came around. We lived on one street and I lived on the other. So he came around, he and four men with tubefores, and they put that cake on that tubefore, and they all went around down the street with that cake on that mirror on those tubefores, and I walked alongside her to be sure it didn't fall off. And we got it up there, and she put it on the table, and then she said to me, she says, "Now, I want you to make all the flower arrangements and things for my home for this father reception," and I did. I got them all. That wasn't a job. That cake was a job, but that other part wasn't a job, so I got them all fixed, got them home all decorated, flowers. And then she told me to go home and get the finest, most beautiful evening gown I had out and wear it and cut the cake. So I got to cut the cake. And there was about 200 people came through that night, and it was a beautiful occasion. Oh, I just was on cloud nine. And the next week after that, well, a bride called me and told me she wanted to make her cake. And I told her I didn't know how. I couldn't make a cake. I didn't know how. She said, "Well, you sure did a good job of that wedding the other night. I don't know why you think." I said, "Yeah, but I told her all the time I couldn't do that." And she said, "Well, you did it. Now I want you to do mine. But I want a tiered one." And I said, "Well, I don't know how to make a tiered cake. I wouldn't know how. I don't know how." But she kept on, and she made me make that cake. And I made it. I tiered it up. But I worked out. I decided how I might could make calla lilies, because my husband gave me calla lilies when we married, and I had about two or three seedlings of calla lilies that I had done in oil, because it was just something that I really prized. So I decided maybe that I might make one. I kept working, so I made a calla lily out of acid. And I was so excited over that. So I put calla lilies on her cake. And I declare to you, I had more people. The bride wanted me to make their cakes. I fixed her table too. That bride wanted me to fix her table. So I rigged up a design for her table and used little Pyrex dishes to put the flowers in and covered them over with satin. And I used lilies, Easter lilies for the blossoms. And she used the blossoms, and it was a beautiful array. So from that, I just kept getting wedding cakes and getting wedding cakes. And I didn't aim to do it. I told myself people all the time I couldn't do it. I didn't want to do it. I hadn't planned on doing anything like that, but I did it all the time. Never did ask for a cake. Never didn't ask for a wedding, because I told them all the time they didn't do it, wasn't going to do it, but I kept doing it. And so come around to later years, well, Governor Wiley's daughter, Peggy, was going to get married, and so they came around to see me and asked me to do the cake and do the table and do the groom's cake and to serve it. Well, of course, I had enough experience. That didn't bother me, but they were going to have about 6,000 people, and they wanted enough cake to serve 6,000 people. Well, that's a big job. But I made the cake for 1,500. I made a round cake, the traditional, and she didn't want anything on it but roses from Lady of the Valley. So I made it white with a delicate pink rose with a Lady of the Valley. Gave it the beautiful lines, and then I made wedges then to serve all the people they wanted to have. I did the bean's cake and the bride's cake and made enough cake to serve them all, and I think everybody went away with cake. And we had all kinds of little sandwiches and all kinds of puns, and it was just a beautiful affair, really. I guess it was about 6,000 people came to the mansion that night. Well, it started, I guess, about 5 o'clock, the reception, and we just had a mansion full of folks all the time, outside and inside. And it was just a beautiful place. So, from that, now I see I didn't ask for that job, they asked me. And I didn't tell them anything about what I'd charge them, never even mention it. Never did they say a word about it, but when about a week later, maybe a little later, I don't know exactly, the governor sent me a nice check, and I didn't complain about it. So I thought it was real nice that they didn't even ask me how much I'd charge. Then they didn't ask me how much they owed me. They just paid me. So it looks like that's beautiful. What is wrong with that? Well, we just continued with it. I just kept doing weddings and not an aim into.
Tell us a little bit about the Chiroptimist Club, which you are a member of, and in your organization.
Congress Club and all that. Well, I'm the only people is just in the team. Well, I belong to the several clubs, other than the church activities. I belong to a Chiroptimist Club, which was beautiful women. They were all women of, some of them were lawyers and some of them were doctors and some of them were merchants, and they wanted me to be in it on my art of decorating and preparing beautiful foods and things like that. That was when they asked me to be in the club, and I joined, and it was quite an experience because I got to associate with these beautiful, accomplished business women, and it was worth something to me. And then I belonged to the Progress Club. It was a club there in town that we did. We had various projects that we would do to help the poor, and we sell blindly things that the people told me they had made. And we had a lot of projects like that we would do to help in people in need. And of course we had nice programs. They would be programs that fit the occasions, like Thanksgiving, and we'd have programs, big nice programs at Christmas. And they always assigned me, to do the Christmas programs. And I knew Dr. Rowland, who was the music instructor at Huntington College, and I would just go to Mr. Rowland and I'd tell him what I was going to have and what type of program I was going to have. And then I would like to have musicians, but I'd like to have a violinist and a soloist and a pianist and that sort of thing to entertain the people at this occasion, whatever it was, Christmas or Thanksgiving. If it was Thanksgiving, it would be on the Thanksgiving thing and whatever. And of course, we'd have Easter programs and we would have teas and things that would, people that would come into town, well, we could have big teas at the governor's mansion and entertain these people, certain organizations and have conventions in town, and we'd entertain them at the governor's mansion. Of course, the business of the Syracuse Club did the same thing. We could entertain various types of business people that would come into town. And we'd have big teas and programs and things of interest that we could do for the people and make them feel welcome in our capital city. And of course, people like to tour the mansion and the little white house and the archive and history building. There's an awful lot of history in Montgomery. So people would enjoy. And that was our business, to be able to tell the people and direct them to all these historical things that went on in the line of our organizations, our clubs, and things like that.
Tell us a little bit about a couple of specific paintings that you
have. My paintings in my home are the ones that I have done, and I have several very my paintings have all been appraised, and of course I don't know if anybody paid me for them, but I have one painting that is a very prized painting that they were appraised. All my paintings are appraised, of course, by a New York Academy art graduate, and she was an instructor at the university, and she took a great delight in my paintings, and so I have one painting of Magnolia that she wanted to hang in the art gallery in Washington. Well, I don't know why, because I didn't let him do it, but I didn't see any point in doing it. To me, that didn't mean anything then, but I do feel like now that she would have let it hung about a year, I guess. But anyway, that painting that I have, she appraised it at $3,000. And I have it, it hangs in my home now. And all of my other paintings that she appraised, it's been, they're right expensive, but of course I couldn't sell them for that. But she said someday they'd be very valuable. So maybe I won't know anything about it, but maybe they will make a stand in the world someday. But I never spent much time painting like my husband wanted me to. But I got myself involved in so many things, I couldn't concentrate on my paintings. You don't just paint a picture, you have to be inspired, or I was. Now, here in my home now, that my mother and father built,